Mini episode 384 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by The Unheard Scene, your home for great music interviews of all stripes. Follow them on the web at unheardscene.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Okay, everybody, welcome to mini episode number 384 of the FDH Lounge. Rick Morris and Mike Petak, your FDH Lounge dignitaries and residents. Mike Petak, our FDH Lounge motorsports editor, coming at us for our ultimate awesome annual fantasy NASCAR mock draft. Mike, good to do it again with you, my friend. How are you today?
Oh, just so looking forward to this. Daytona's right around the corner. You know, it's 5 below outside, but Daytona means NASCAR.
It does. It does. We are almost there. And we are getting this mock draft set, of course, for our Fantasy NASCAR Guide, Fantasy NASCAR Draftology 2014. So this will be featuring the mock draft in there, as well as Mike's analysis here with the picks. And as we go to get started here, our mock drafters in order, we will be drafting off of a list for the other four participants. They submitted their lists to me ahead of time. In slot number one, picked at random earlier, FDH Entertainment Editor Samantha Jones. Hubby Jason Jones, the FDH Senior Editor, is in the second spot. In spot number three, good old Platinum Smalls from DOU Productions in the 21st Century Media Alliance. In the fourth spot, FDH Lounge Dignitary Jeff Maslanich. In the fifth spot, you, Mike Petak, and I, Rick Morris, in the sixth spot here. We'll go five rounds in a standard serpentine fashion.
Excellent. Quick shout out. What's up, Smalls?
Always good to send a shout out to Smalls or anybody else while we're doing this here. He'll be marking out for that and probably talking about it on Facebook for the mention.
Jason, Samantha, what up? Long time.
Yeah. Before we get started here, you had mentioned to me off air a couple of changes this year with the NASCAR season, and I guess we'll talk about this with some of the specific drivers as we're going through our mock draft, but I was really taken aback by what you had said about the qualifying this year, the way that it's going to go, and the differentiation in that, as well as the fact that wins are going to be at more of a premium this year, and that guys like Little Lee might suffer for that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Wins will be at a premium this year. You are going to get more points for your W's, and the qualifying, you better have your race trim ready to go in order to qualify, because they're going to be breaking it down into segments. And, you know, the first segment, everybody's going to be out there, and the top 25 speeds, I believe, will advance. And then they will break that down to another segment. And it's all going to be in race trim, I would think, because you're not going out there by yourself trying to get that fastest lap.
Well, and that's going to make all the difference in the world, ultimately, because from what you'd explained to me about the difference between being able to tweak up the old car after you get done with qualifying and now basically having to take it out there more or less as is afterwards, that's going to be a real culture shock to a lot of those guys.
It really is. And, you know, the smart teams, the big teams, they're gonna strive in this. They have all the notes from last year. Not too many of the tracks have changed. And, you know, it'll be really interesting to see how this works out.
Will be. It's going to be a real step in another direction here, as well as the whole deal with, again, the qualifying aside, you've got the deal with the point standings this year, taking 16 drivers now into the chase, so really kind of taking a lot of the regular season drama out of it. All the top drivers are the ones that are going to be a no-brainer first and second round picks in our draft. They're going to be there unless they happen to get injured, like Denny Hamlin last year or Tony Stewart, as he ran into some problems, but still ended up having a decent campaign nonetheless. But unless you really have a severe injury, you should make the chase, and that's going against everything that we've seen the last couple of years, where there's always been good drivers on the outside looking in.
Absolutely. I mean, your big teams, your Hendricks, your Penske's, you know, your Joe Gibbs Racing, you know, there's basically going to be your locks right
there.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, and that's, but it's always been important to have a good team behind you and one of the top teams when we look at the strength of Hendricks Motorsports over the years. But it almost sounds like you're saying that it's even more so in that direction this year.
Absolutely. I mean, in some of these tracks, you're gonna see teams drafting with each other to get the top speed, so the teams as a whole can advance to the next round.
Well, you know, that's going to make it very interesting to see the adjustments that are made throughout the year, and it'll be a work in progress for everybody to be getting used to it all at the same time together, starting at Daytona. And starting in the first spot here, Samantha Jones with the chalk pick, the number one pick on the FDH draft board, probably most other draft boards this year.
Danica Patrick.
Not quite. Jimmy Johnson returning to the top spot last year after being in third place in 2012, sixth place in 2011. The one thing that kind of jumps out at me a little bit here, when you look at how he did on the tracks, because this is part of what we have on our draft board at FVH, and it also forms our UQB when you look at the track breakdowns here. On the intermediates, he was third in average finish last year. He was second on restrictor plates, second on super speedways, fifth on road tracks, tied for 20th on the short track. And you don't have that many short tracks, but a little bit of a flaw in his game coming off of last year.
A little flaw, but if you can make up for it on the super speedways, you know, the 2 miles, the mile and a half tracks where, you know, most of the races are take place, you can have a hiccup like that.
Absolutely. And he was being third on the intermediates was huge. You will see a huge kind of correlation there between how drivers do on the intermediates and where they are in the standings overall, as that is 24 out of 36 races, exactly two-thirds. So if you're only going to nail one of these things really strong, you want it to be the intermediate tracks. But most of these drivers, especially at the top here, are strong in a bunch of different areas. Up second, Jason ended up going chalk on this one here. Matt Kenseth finishing second last year, the runner-up in the standings, seventh the year before, fourth in 2011. A very steady driver, and again, second on the intermediates last year. He's strongest where he needs to be strongest.
Absolutely, and it, you know, a strong second place showing for Kenseth with this first year with Joe Gibbs Racing and a completely new team. So maybe he can push Jimmy Johnson just a little bit.
Good point, and he was, again, third on the UQB last year. Jimmy Johnson was the leader with 165 points. Kenseth was in third at 149. And up next here, in somebody who was tied for fifth in UQB last year, Kyle Busch goes to good old Platinum Smalls. Smalls definitely likes his iconoclasts there. And Kyle Busch, a talented but very volatile racer, fourth last year in the standing, coming off of two disappointing years the year before, 13th when he was on the outside looking in with the chase, and then 12th in 2011. Very strong in most of the track types last year. Again, not so much on the super speedways where he wasn't in the top 20 in average finish, but fourth on the intermediates. Kyle Busch, everyone keeps waiting to see, is this going to be his year? Because he has every bit as much talent as perhaps Jimmy Johnson, some would say.
Oh, absolutely. Kyle Busch, you know, if he can keep his head on straight, you know, he's a big-time racer. And, you know, he can be very consistent. You know, last year, Toyota really had some engine problems last year, and I think that's where Kenseth really fell off. They had some engine problems, and if they can straighten that out, Kyle Busch and Matt Kenseth can really make a push, and Toyota can really have a strong program this year.
Absolutely. Toyota definitely a force to be reckoned with here. In the fourth spot, first time we go away from the FDH chalk, as Jeff Maslanich, FDH Lounge dignitary and my bestie, going with a guy who is in the sixth spot on our draft board, Brad Keselowski, the champion in 2012, that being sandwiched with a fifth place finish in 2011 and a 14th place finish last year. Again, excellent driver on the outside looking in with the chase. Having said that, him with his 14th place finish last year, Kyle Busch with his 13th place finish in 2012 would make the chase under the new system. If you wonder why I said it might take away some regular season drama, that would be why. These, you know, who knows what would have happened. Keselowski would have gone into the chase with a chance to defend his championship. It's definitely a high upside pick, as it would be for any recent NASCAR Series champion. What do you think about Keselowski going in the fourth spot ahead of Harvick and Boyer, who were higher on our draft board?
Interesting pick. Former champion. Second year with Ford. Ford is back with Penske Racing right now. And, you know, if you have a former champion, you know, right there at your fingertips, and he's still racing very competitively, it's not that far of a reach.
No, it certainly wouldn't seem to be the case. So you again are on the board here.
Kevin Harvick.
I didn't even have to set it up for you. I love it. Okay. All right. I'm sitting there looking at it, like, especially with the pick of Keselowski, like, I can't go wrong because I'm going to have one of these two fall to me here. But before I get to explaining my end of the first round pick and start of the second round pick, why don't you talk about Harvick? What made him jump out to you over Bowyer?
You know, the last couple of years, he really wasn't happy at Childress Racing. They were racing competitively. They were winning races. You know, the closer, Kevin Harvick, he was doing his thing. But now he's with Tony Stewart Racing. And that's where he wanted to be. And I think the change in attitude, that could really do a lot for him. And, you know, same Chevy equipment. The fact that Harvick is going to be working with Hendrick Motorsports in their motor program,
mm-hmm.
maybe slightly better than Childress.
Okay.
But, you know, just, I think, you know, a great possibility for him this year.
Well, and again, somebody who's been very, very strong. He's been in the top eight all of the last 3 years. An eighth place finish in 2012, sandwiched by third place picks, finishes on either side in 2013 and 2011. And first on the intermediate tracks on average finish. Ninth on the short tracks, tied for eighth on the road course. Is not in the top 20 finishes on restrictor plates and
really?
Super speedways.
Interesting.
But first on the intermediates, two-thirds of the tracks right there.
Yeah.
First on average finish last year. You got to like that, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And that paced him to a strong finish in our UQB, tied for fifth at 145 points on our draft board. The guy that I'm going with actually finished second last year on the UQB. The number five guy on our FDH draft board falls to me in the sixth spot, Clint Bowyer. He had, that second place finish with 153 points came from finishing first on the short tracks on average finish last year, fifth on the super speedways, third on the road courses, fourth on the restrictor plates. Unfortunately for him, his worst finish out of all of them, the aforementioned very important intermediate tracks, where he was ninth place. Still not horrible. But a strong all-around performer, one of the handful of guys to be in the top 10 on all of the different track types.
Yeah, very strong, very consistent, and great fight with Jeff Gordon.
Yeah, very entertaining.
That was great. I mean, I'm sorry, I hate to go off topic like this, but that's what NASCAR used to be like back in the Winston Cup days when I was really starting getting into it. There was no quarter given, no quarter asked, and when he went after Gordon, I'm like, this is great old school.
Oh, it was, And speaking of old school, I mean, it wasn't like Sugar Ray Leonard punching a guy in the arms to try to get extra points on the fight stat. This was actual punches that were being thrown.
Oh, yeah, they were not. He chased him down. He ran after him, and it's like, okay. And they settled it on the track, which
yeah.
was cool.
Yeah, you know, the 1979 Daytona 500 says hi. But, that was some real old school right there.
I loved it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it brought back memories to a lot of people, I'm sure. So the first round, Jimmy Johnson, Matt Kenseth, Kyle Busch, Brad Keselowski, Kevin Harvick, and Clint Bowyer to selections. No real surprises at all there. To start the second round in the Serpentine draft here, I'm still on the board, and I will take Lil Lee in that spot. 147 points on the UQB last year, so fourth on that. A fifth-place finish last year in the standings, 12th in 2012, 7th in 2011. Lil Lee is a guy that, again, as you said, he may suffer a little bit in terms of wins being paramount as far as the new scoring system, but he's been a guy who's been remarkably consistent over the last couple of years aside from that.
Yeah, he had his problems in the intermediate tracks. He really seemed to do well at Michigan the last couple of years. And that program for him has really improved. So if they can take it to that next level, great pick.
Yeah. I think that may very well be the case when you look at the development that he has gone through the last couple of years with Hendrick. So it comes back to you for the second pick, Mike, and you got a nice field that you're looking at here as we go 8 to 11 on the board, and I know you feel that there's a little bit of a drop, or maybe a 12. Kurt Busch, Carl Edwards, Tony Stewart, Joey Logano, Casey Kane. I know those are all guys that you
Great.
Were talking up off air.
Yeah, absolutely. Kurt Busch moving over to – I'm going to stay with Team Stewart Haas.
Wow, okay.
And another former champion?
Yes.
Kurt Busch.
He's a champion and Kyle is not, which is still kind of mind-boggling when you look at what they've done over most of the last decade here. Only 72 points on the UQB last year. He did not have great average track finishes in anything but road courses. He was fourth on the road courses, but he was 12th on the intermediates. I mean, he was respectable on that.
He was racing for a single car our team, mm-hmm. trying to, you know, the question with Kurt is, where's his head at? What's he going to do? What's he going to say? Can he control his temper?
Right.
And that's why, you know, none of the big teams went after him last year, and he was looking for any ride he can get. He was working for a single car team that was based out of Denver, Colorado.
Right.
And he did very respectable with that. Now, you give him an upgrade in equipment.
Yeah.
Being on a top-tier team, you know, and I think if anybody can check Kurt Busch's attitude at the door, Tony Stewart's that guy.
You would definitely think so. I would like his odds in being able to do that, and it's going to be a very interesting partnership between them. In the next spot here, Jeff Maslanich selects as his second driver, Tony Stewart. Smoke looking to make a real impact here this year, and again, finishing only 29th last year, dealing with the injuries, but 9th in 2012 and 1st in 2011, the series champion that year. Stewart only placed in the top 20 on one track type, but again, if you're going to nail one, that's the one you want. He was 6th in the intermediate courses on an average finish.
Yeah, you know, Smoke's getting up there in age. I'm really starting to pull for the guy. I'd like to see him win Daytona, because I think he is at the same mindset of Dale Earnhardt Sr., and I think it would be huge for NASCAR for Smoke to win something like that. He's running his own team. He's working with his old buddy, Tony Cipadelli, and great pick. I look for big things out of Tony Stewart this year, as long as he's 100%.
Okay, and yeah, everything is pretty much contingent on that as far as us liking the pick, I'm sure. The next one, this is kind of predictable. Good old Platinum Smalls, almost back to the guy's rookie year, has always been a huge mark for this guy. Casey Kane goes off the board in this spot. Very, very interesting to see how he's going to shake out in this campaign this year. And again, he was 12th last year, a 4th place finish in 2012, and a 14th place finish in 2011. Good old Casey Kane.
Casey Kane, you know, every year they say it's another guy they expect big things out of. He's got Hendrick Power behind him. And, you know, and if he doesn't live up to expectations, Hendrick's not going to be afraid to say, okay, I'm going to push you to the side. You know, go find another team. I'm going to get the next big thing in here.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of pressure on Casey Kane, and, you know, it seems like every year, you know, there's a lot of pressure on Kane. And, you know, again, I hate to sound redundant. You got the Hendrick Power. You got the Hendrick money behind you. There's no reason why he shouldn't, you know, win a couple of races.
Absolutely. Time to make some things happen. In the next spot here, a guy who hasn't made as many things happen over the last couple of years, but Jason going for a good potential buy low pick. I don't know that a year or two ago we necessarily would have envisioned this guy being available in this spot. Carl Edwards is the selection. He last year finished in 13th place, but was 7th on the UQB, so a little bit of a gap there. 15th place finish the year before 2012, a 2nd place finish in 2011, coming off a string of a couple of pretty good years, peaking in 2011 there. Again, on the different track types, doing fairly well, placing in the top 20, average finish on all track types, peaking with 2nd on the road courses and 7th on the intermediate tracks. Carl Edwards, a very interesting pick in this spot.
Yeah, I remember when the rumors were going around with Matt Kenseth when he was with the Roush Fenway team, and it was like, okay, who's going to be the face of Ford Motor Company?
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be Carl Edwards? Is it going to be Matt Kenseth? You see what happened. Matt Kenseth is right now, you know, he's with Joe Gibbs Racing.
Right.
And a lot of big things were expected out of Carl Edwards, and he really hasn't delivered. I remember 2 years ago, I took Carl Edwards with the 2nd pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not beyond him to, you know, have a strong finish in the chase and be a top 5 racer. So at this point in the race, that's great value.
Yeah, he seems very unlikely, I would think, to underperform this selection here. He's got an excellent chance of overperforming it, I would
yes,
think.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's what you look for in a spot like this. The next one, this pick a little bit more adventurous as Samantha Jones, entertainment editor, closes out first round. She closes out the round with a pick of Joey Logano, noting in the notes that I have here if he was still to be available in this spot. And again, I'm going off the highest available one for her as I am for Jason, Jeff Maslanich, and Platinum Smalls. The progression, 24th place in 2011, 17th place in 2012, 8th place in 2013. So you keep gaining by 7 spots or so moving forward, 7, 8, or 9 spots. Where's that put you this year?
Oh, yeah, that you're right up there.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest with you, Logano could not have lived up to expectations when he first came in. They rushed
right.
him into the spot.
Yeah.
And there was no way he could have lived up to expectations
mm-hmm.
unless he won every race.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's with a 2nd year with Penske. you know, nice pick by Samantha.
Yeah, I think so as well. And when you look at it, fifth on average finish for the intermediate tracks last year and sixth on the road courses. Granted, there's only two road courses. Tied for 10th on the short tracks, not in the top 20 average finish for restrictor plates or super speedways. But again, fifth place on the intermediates, which again account for two-thirds of the total races out there. So that's got to be encouraging.
Absolutely.
He's nailing the most important ones out there. Samantha's second pick, kind of the opposite end of the spectrum. I mean, a lot of us remember, it seems like not too many years ago, hopefully it's not a sign of age on our part, when this guy was one of the young guns, but now he's a grizzled veteran who is balancing out Joey Logano in this spot here. Jeff Gordon joining Logano and Jimmy Johnson on Team Samantha here. So one of Jimmy Johnson's Hendrick Motorsports teammates at one point in time, you could almost say his mentor before really kind of surpassing everything that Gordon has done over there as he has surpassed everyone else of this generation. Sixth place finish last year, 10th place in 2012, 8th place in 2011. Jeff Gordon, again, has just turned into that solid and a steady competitor who shows up at the end.
Yeah, very solid, very steady. He's that mentoring type right now.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he is that grizzled veteran. And he was lucky number 13 in the chase last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's still very competitive out there. You see very little slide in his game. He's really, when he races, he's really a cerebral racer.
Yes. He knows what he's doing, and he really just is able to apply all of his knowledge and all of his years of experience out there. And, again, just becoming that kind of grizzled presence out there on the track. The second round, by the way, to recap, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Kurt Busch, Tony Stewart, Casey Kane, Carl Edwards, Joey Logano. Jeff Gordon was the first pick of the third round. The second pick of the third round off of the list that I have from Jason Jones is Greg Biffle. And this is an interesting pick as well. And another one that really seems like value in this spot. A guy who's been in the chase the last 2 years, top 10 finish each of the last 2 years, ninth place finish last year, fifth place in 2012. He was 16th in 2011. And again, somebody who has been top 15 average finish on all of the track types, top 15 or better. Unfortunately for him, his worst of that is 14th place average finish on the intermediate tracks. But again, Greg Biffle, a guy who is showing that he can race on just about any style of track out there.
Absolutely. Greg Biffle, very, you know, he's very consistent.
Mm-hmm.
He's a name where, you know, you'll be watching the race and you'll be looking, and all of a sudden it's like, yep, there's Greg Biffle in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Not surprised by that at all. I'm wondering, with this new setup with 16 people in the chase, if you're going to see teams... More teams not really pushing because they know they're safely in there.
Could be.
I don't know if I want to say that they're laying back, but I mean 16 teams, that's close to a third of the field.
Yes, it does make you wonder. That's entirely possible because again, I think
because all these people right now that they should all be in the chase barring injury.
Yeah, and that's objectively, doesn't it lose something the fact that we're looking at this? I mean, the fact that the bubble is going to be between the Martin Truexes and Ryan Newmans and Jamie McMurrays of the world.
Yeah.
I mean,
people that are going to be in there should be in there based on, you know, past wins, talent, and the strength of the team that's backing them.
Absolutely. What you're not going to have is what you've had the last couple of years here. I mean, we talked about a couple of these guys already, but Brad Keselowski missed it last year in 14th place. Kyle Busch missed it in 2012 in 13th place. Carl Edwards missed it with a 15th place finish in 2012. Joey Logano, granted he was still on his progression at the time, but 17th place in 2012. Now that still would be on the outside looking in. Clint Bowyer, 13th place finish in 2011. Casey Kane, a 14th place finish in 2012. So you're not having the whole thing of, you know, you could have one or two really good drivers who's on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
You won't have that anymore unless, like I said, the thing is if any of them get hurt, then that may very well be the case.
Unless there's a surprise, but you should still be in the top 15.
Yeah. Who's going to tank badly enough to miss it if they're not hurt out of the top drivers we've been talking about here?
Yeah.
There should be nobody.
Exactly.
So, you know, they've come full circle, I think. They set up the chase to increase the amount of, and obviously they wanted to have a quote-unquote postseason that really meant something, but a regular season that was not just a joyless slog to the end like the year that Matt Kenseth won it in 2003, and really kind of changed sports history, because you look at other circuits that have gotten into this as well, NHRA, the PGA, a lot of these other ones have imitated what NASCAR has done since, and it was all because supposedly, Matt Kenseth with his joyless, boring slog to the title, but it seems like they're doing really kind of the same thing as far as draining some of the meaning out of the first 26 races by making it that easy for all the top drivers to get in.
Yeah, and I think there's only been maybe one driver, non-chase driver, that has won a race.
Yeah.
And now you might have just, to me, you're gonna throw that really out the window. And I think it was Kyle Busch won one last year, or the year before, when he was out of the chase.
Yeah.
So, I mean, next year, what's it going to be, 20? Well, half the field's going to make the chase.
Yeah. They've really gone against what they were trying to do initially. They really have kind of, in only 10 years, they've come full circle with this thing. The next pick here, Platinum Smalls, he has rolled the dice consistently on every pick that he's had here. He follows up Kyle Busch, who obviously does have the upside for a championship. Casey Kane, who he is clearly pegging for a top five finish this year. His third round pick, another upside one, last year's rookie of the year. You knew that the title was going to be going to that household. You and I had pegged ahead of time correctly which member of that household was going to take it home. Ricky Stenhouse Jr.
Stanica.
Stanica. I haven't heard that before. That's pretty good.
You haven't heard the Stanica?
But that is pretty awesome. I'm sure everyone else out there is going, Rick, it's been around for a year. This is the first I'm hearing of it. I love it. A 19th place finish in the standings last year, and again, not in the top 20 on the intermediate tracks. His best placement was fourth on the super speedways for average finish. Again, a very gifted driver. You look at the guys who come in with the pedigree like we've seen in recent years. Casey Kane, Joey Logano, Martin Truex Jr., Ricky Stenhouse Jr. certainly belongs among those names as far as people that are getting pegged as a potential future champion down the road. Probably won't be this year, but hey, under this system, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. could well be in the chase.
Absolutely, and they brought his crew chief from the Nationwide Series up to work with him and be his crew chief this year.
Okay.
He won a couple of championships with this gentleman in the Nationwide Series. So working with him, maybe he gets a little more confidence, and he can sneak his way into the chase.
Absolutely. Familiarity is definitely very huge. Next up here, Jeff Miscellanich selects Denny Hamlin as his next driver, and we talked about, again, that the top drivers, if they don't have injuries befall them, are going to be an excellent spot to make the chase this year. Denny Hamlin, again, one of those cautionary tales, 23rd last year, but again, the year before that, 6th place, and in 2011 tied for 9th place in the standings. Hamlin is a guy that, again, all things being equal, is just going to grind to an excellent performance year after year. So if he's healthy, this should be a good pick for Jeff, I would think.
Yeah, Hamlin is a grinder for sure, but when you're on a team with Kyle Busch and Matt Kenseth,
yeah.
I mean, I get that everybody's going to share information, but I think, most, as you can tell by where they were drafted, they're head and shoulders above Hamlin. And, you know, all equipment is supposed to be the same and whatnot. And I get that, you know, a couple years ago, Denny Hamlin was the top two, top three pick, and he seems to have regressed a little bit.
Yeah.
So hopefully he can bounce back and, you know, make this a very valuable pick. And again, people we're picking have a very good chance of being in the chase.
Yes. Yes, they do, because at this point in time, we are only up to the 17th pick in the draft, and again, the top 16 are going to make the chase here. So all of these next couple of guys, I think we can safely slot, at the very least, your next two picks and my next two picks at the end of this round, the beginning of the next round, should at least be chase bubble picks here for you. You're sitting on a pretty nice spot between Truex Jr. at 16 on our board, Newman at 17, 19, 20, 21, McMurray, Menard, Vickers, Austin Dillon, if you really wanted to roll the dice. So you got a lot of guys you can pick from that are very intriguing right here.
Yeah, very, very intriguing. And I think I will go with Martin Truex Jr.
Yeah, I figured you probably would.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have minded him dropping to me, but, you know, highest on our board left here at this point, and probably for good reason. 11th place last year, and I'm sorry, 11th place in 2012, 16th place last year, 18th place the year before. A very, very solid performer, a guy who just seems to be getting better all the time.
Yeah. He's really starting to live up to his potential. He came up as a hot shot, and he had a lot of things hung on him that he's going to be that next big guy. You know, right now, you know, I see him as a good middle-of-the-road racer. You know, again, if you see him in the top 15, you're really not surprised by Mark Joy.
Right. He's always got the chance to do a little bit more than that, no question. I will end the third round, which, by the way, has gone Jeff Gordon, Greg Biffle, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Denny Hamlin, Martin Truex Jr. I will end it with the selection of Ryan Newman in this spot, a guy who was in the chase two of the last 3 years, 11th place last year, tied for ninth in 2011. That was sandwiched by a 14th place finish in 2012 that, again, under the new system, would have put him in the chase again anyways. And not really spectacular on any of the track types, except he was sixth in average finish for the super speedways, but a guy who was top 20 on all of the different track types last year in terms of average finish, and a lot of other drivers can't say that.
Yeah, absolutely. This is the one gentleman who I'm wondering how this new qualifying system is going to affect, because, I mean, if you needed one lap and you needed one fast lap, Ryan Newman would just put the right foot down and let it go.
Yeah, he's a tremendous driver for being able to do that, no question about it. I'm starting the fourth round here with a selection of Jamie McMurray, who was 15th last year on our UQB with 77 points. Again, another guy that was top 20 on all the different track types. Unfortunately for him, his worst track type was intermediate, where he was an 18th place average finish, tied for 14th on the road tracks, but top 10 on three of the other different track types as well. He was sixth place on restrictor plate tracks last year, ninth on the super speedways, and tied for seventh on the short tracks. So McMurray, very quietly, is a guy that can be called upon to give you decent finishes, really, almost regardless of track type.
Yeah, Jamie McMurray has his ups and downs, peaks and valleys, but that's what you're going to get, you know, this time in the draft.
Yeah, that's pretty much all that's left. He has actually, again, for a guy who's an established driver, this is an interesting and I think somewhat rare pattern. He's advanced each of the last 2 years, and by a decent margin. 27th in 2011, 20th in 2012, 15th last year, which again, as we keep saying, would have put him in the chase under the new format. So to make a jump of five places a year after jumping seven places, you don't often see that for a driver as established as Jamie McMurray.
Yeah, if he can jump in there, that means that one of the top guys is gonna fall.
Yeah.
Who's that going to be? That's anybody's guess.
Yeah, he's certainly at least a bubble pick for the chase, since, again, would have made it last year under the new format. For you, Mike, it gets very interesting here in the next couple spots. You got some newcomers here with Austin Dillon and Kyle Larson. You got the established boys of Paul Menard, Brian Vickers, who is another one of these guys who is coming off a year that he'd like to forget. Eric Almirola in there, Marcus Ambrose, A.J. Allmendinger. Probably too early for Danica yet, even though Stanica, as you said, has gone off the board. So out of all of this stew of names, who are you liking?
This is going to – it doesn't make any sense. It goes off the board.
Okay.
But I'm going to take Brian Vickers.
Okay.
It's kind of a mud down once you're getting down here, and I can't tell you why.
Okay.
I know he did some good things last year when he filled in briefly at Michael Waltrip Racing.
Okay.
So, I've always tried to be no matter what team upside.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a huge chance to be team upside.
Okay. It definitely is with what he's done previously and his track record of success previously. The next spot here, it's a chalk pick, and you may be seeing a little bit of that here as we're going through. Going off the list for Jeff Maslanich, he selects Paul Menard, who is next up on our draft board here. Again, the safest one if you're going according to the FDH draft board. 17th last year, 16th in 2012, 17th in 2011. Again, relatively safe. This guy may not have the highest ceiling, but there's a whole bunch of drivers, most of which we're still going to be getting to, who have much lower floors than he does.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who would like to have the numbers that he had last year.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, kind of enviable in that regard as far as what he was able to put up. And finished sixth average finish on the short tracks and 13th average finish on the road courses. That was kind of his highlight. For Platinum Smalls, he's taking it in a very interesting direction here. He is skipping over the two newcomers to go with Eric Almirola in the next spot. So apparently there's only so much gambling that he is going to do, largely because, again, newcomers are unlikely to really be chase threats in this regard. But to Almirola, Loyola, 18th last year, so he would have been right on the bubble under the new system, 21st the year before. A guy who, again, 17th place finish average on the intermediate track, 17th on the restrictor plates, 19th on the road courses, not in the top 20 for short track or for road courses. So Almirola, a decent pick. We are kind of, no offense to him, sort of getting to the it is what it is part.
Yeah, exactly. It is what it is. And, you know, Eric Almirola is Eric Almirola. You know, this is the part, yeah, it is what it is. We're getting to the point where, okay, who's going to at least give me a win and give me some points?
Right.
Is basically what you're looking at, because the people we're drafting right now, no offense, they're not going to make the chase. I don't believe.
I don't think so either.
There's some years there's that surprise, but I hope I'm wrong, and there is that surprise person. We have that big name driver that's out of the chase looking in. That'll make for some good racing, but at this point, it's very difficult to project any of these racers as chase participants.
Yeah, it is kind of hard to figure on that. Marcus Ambrose, the selection for FDH senior editor Jason Jones. Again, consistency, if nothing else, the last 3 years. 22nd place finish in the standings last year, 18th place in 2012, 19th place in 2011. So within four spots on the high end or the low end in each of the last 3 years, but right around 20.
Yeah, he's really shown improvement, and his strong point is obviously in the road courses. So that's where you may make hay, and you may get a W out of them.
Absolutely.
Which is, in fantasy, you know, that's what you're looking for.
Absolutely, and that's where our draft board comes in handy. I'm glad you mentioned that, because, again, you can look at it and see average track type finish. Tied for 16th on the road courses last year.
Really? That surprises me.
Not in the top 20, though, on any of the other ones. So you are right that if you're going to play him anywhere, it would be on either of the two road courses, because even if you thought he would have come in a little bit higher than tied for 16th, he still wasn't top 20 on anything else, Mike.
Right.
So, yeah, you pegged it. That's the best place to start him. And very interesting that we're at a point here, and I'm actually, spoiler alert, I actually have the rest of the next couple of these ones slotted off of the lists here, and there is a little bit more of an aversion to some of the newcomers here than I would have thought. People fleeing to safety, I guess, as they say on Wall Street at this point. The next pick up here to end the fourth round, which started with Jamie McMurray, and from there went to Brian Vickers, Paul Menard, Eric Almirola, Marcus Ambrose. Samantha Jones ends it with A.J. Allmendinger in this spot. The refugee from the open wheel circuit coming in here, and a guy who has really kind of plateaued in terms of his improvement over the years, but seventh on road courses last year and tied for 10th on the short tracks a year ago. But Allmendinger, the last 2 years, 35th place finish, 32nd place finish, 15th place is where he really kind of peaked in 2011.
Yeah, A.J. is dealing with off-the-track issues, which, you know, Penske took him completely out of the picture, and you know, he was fighting to make his way back. Started off in the Nationwide Series, had a few races in the big leagues there in the Sprint Cup. So hopefully, you know, he's got his house in order, and again, here's this, you know, seventh place on the road course.
Yeah,
you know, there's a place where you're going to want to definitely slot him.
Absolutely, he is somebody that is very strong being used situationally there. Samantha Jones starts our fifth and final round with another open wheel driver making his way over to a NASCAR several years back. Casey Mears is in the spot here, and again, consistent if nothing else the last couple of years, and someone who has gained incrementally. 24th place finish last year after being 29th in 2012 and 31st place in 2011. Unsurprisingly, the road courses last year, the only place where he was in the top 20 was the road track. The two races there where he was 11th place average finish. So Mears almost kind of a specialist at this point.
Yeah. Too bad, you know, you hear the name Mears and you just think open wheels and you're thinking, oh, the Marlboro machine. Yeah. It was some huge shoes for him to fill in.
Exactly.
You know, he just wasn't able to. But as the older he gets, like you says, he's made some jumps, because a lot of people gave up on him 2-3 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, he's continued to progress there, and it's a shame he hasn't done more, because I've always said, I mean, as the good old xenophobic American that I am, I relished seeing his uncle beat up on all the Ferners back in the Indy races back in the 80s here.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, so I always had a soft spot for the guy, but realistically, like Allmendinger, he has failed to progress at this level in NASCAR. And as so many have pointed out, in fairness, it really kind of is apples and oranges with the heaviness of the cars relative to the extreme lightness in many cases of the open wheel cars.
Yeah.
So it's two different things altogether. As our next pick here, Jason Jones' selection of Danica Patrick found out last year out there.
Really?
Jason,
I was hoping she'd slide down to me.
There's a disturbing mental image, but
thank you.
Yes, Danica last year, a 27th place finish. No points actually on our UQB because she was not in the top 20 on any of the track types last year. But a 27th place finish, I mean, you know, you look at it, and as far as what we expected for her last year, I mean, I think she was who Dennis Green thought she was.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Richard Petty, as he said, the only way she wins a race is if everybody else goes home. She did have some strong showings on the restrictor plate track last year. So, you know, whether it was engine troubles or accidents or whatever it was, she at least did show some progress and was strong on one form of the tracks. Why she didn't finish strong, you know, because of wrecks or whatever it may be. There's nothing wrong with that, but she's shown she can hang at least on the restrictor plate track, so maybe, you know, that's where she can pick up some points for Jason this year.
Very, very possibly. You look at the next two picks here. Might as well take them together as a package here, going off of their lists. Smalls with the selection of Austin Dillon with his final selection, and Jeff Maslanich going for Kyle Larson. So the two newcomers here, jockeying for Rookie of the Year, drop down to the fifth round. And again, according to our draft board and the experts draft board, which is pretty close to that, that would tell you some real upside for these guys, potentially relative to the Eric Almirolas and Marcus Ambroses of the world.
Yeah, very true. And Austin Dillon's taken a huge leap, and he's putting a number three on the side of his car, and that is sacrilege to a lot of people.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, I understand he's used that number coming all the way up, and I don't know. I don't know if I can picture that number on another car, but, you know, that aside, you know, he's a former champion. He's won at every level that he's raced at.
Right.
He did have a couple races under his belt. He raced for Tony Stewart last year, so I think that puts him a little bit ahead of Kyle Larson just based on experience.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, best of luck to the young man.
Yeah, yeah, they're both going to be out there jockeying for that Rookie of the Year title, and as opposed to last year where it was being jockeyed for in one household, but where we all knew going in who was the better driver going into last year, at least at this stage of their careers, and in all likelihood, all through their careers, who the better driver is.
But we know who wears the pants in that relationship.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And, you know,
and she was just drafted.
And something that tells you all you need to know about NASCAR and, in fairness, many other major sports, who's the one that makes that much more money? The one that's the marketing queen or the one that is the significantly better racer?
Yes.
It's all in the bottom line right there. Coming to you, Mike, for your final selection here, there are three picks that are left on the FDH draft board. You could also go off the board if you wanted to be a little bit adventurous here. David Reagan, Justin Allgaier, and Parker Kligerman are the three that are left here. If you wanted to be looking in a part-time direction here, or somebody like Juan Pablo who's still jockeying for a ride, I mean, you could kind of roll the dice a little bit.
Nah, I'm not that big of a gambler if I'm not in Vegas, so
okay.
I think I'm going to go with David Reagan.
Okay.
He's doing a lot of racing in the Nationwide, and he's racing with Dale Jr. In the Nationwide program, so he is working with that, and he's had some success there, and so maybe, you know, hopefully that can translate into some top 15 places for David Reagan.
Exactly, and I will make the Mr. Irrelevant pick here of the draft and go for the highest remaining one on the FDH draft board, which is Justin Allgaier. And again, in something that I hope sounds significantly more like modesty as opposed to ignorance, I will clearly cop to the fact that you know much more about this guy than I do. So again, take it away. Justin Allgaier, my last pick. You have a chance to get me any points here.
You never know what's, you know, when you get to this point, you never know what's going to happen. Allgaier, yeah, he can get you some points. You know, He's in the Sprint Cup for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, I don't want to say he was consistent, but, you know, he's the type of guy who can, if he gave you that flash top 10 point, you'd be like, okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I'm not really expecting any consistency.
Okay. You would not expect that to be a regular occurrence if the guy's cracking top 10s or anything like that. And in all fairness, that really makes sense. As we run through again the last round, Mears, Patrick, Dillon, Larson, Reagan, Allgaier. Let me just run the different teams by you and just tell me anything that jumps out at you, if you're impressed, less impressed by some of these, whatever. Samantha Jones's team of Jimmy Johnson, Joey Logano, Jeff Gordon, A.J. Allmendinger, Casey Mears, Jason Jones with a team of Matt Kenseth, Carl Edwards, Greg Biffle, Marcus Ambrose, and Danica Patrick. Platinum Smalls with Kyle Busch, Casey Kane, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Eric Almirola, and Austin Dillon. Jeff Maslanich selecting Brad Keselowski, Tony Stewart, Denny Hamlin, Paul Menard, Kyle Lawson. You, Mike Ptak, with Kevin Harvick, Kurt Busch, Martin Truex Jr., Brian Vickers, and David Ragan, and me, Rick Morris, my team of Clint Bowyer, Will Lee, Ryan Newman, Jamie McMurray, and Justin Allgaier.
Obviously, Samantha with, you know, Jimmy Johnson, old six time there.
Yeah. Anytime you get to start with that, right?
Yeah. It's a great start. And, you know, the thing of it is now with 16 teams in the chase, that's, you know, if you can have all your, you know, your draftees in the chase,
mm-hmm.
or four out of your five, you're just in great shape. And Jimmy Johnson, I mean, Mr. Consistency, I mean, to quote Ric Flair, be mm-hmm. the man, you got to beat the man. And he is proven that he is the man.
That's a great point, because in something like this, if you have four, well, I was going to say that there would be more than one team probably having four drivers in the chase. If you're the only one that puts five in the chase, you probably win almost before the chase is set.
Yeah.
Okay, before they even race the last 10 races. Yeah, that makes sense. But, yeah, with 16, that's more spots to go around. And, again, on average, it would be everybody getting two and four drivers getting three drivers in it. But, you know, it's not going to work out that way. Somebody's going to have four. Maybe one of these teams will even go 5 for 5 would be very impressive. But in looking at the last round, I mean, if that were to happen, though, if somebody goes 5 for 5, then that means they got a hit on a chase one. Mears, Patrick, Dillon, Larson, Reagan, or Allgaier. I mean,
yeah.
Now
you're looking at four. If you can hit 4 out of 5.
Yeah. But the likelihood is that out of the 6 of us, there will be probably more than one of us that gets 4. So
it'll be interesting.
Yeah, because that would be, let's see, if 2 of us got 4, so 8 spots out of 16, my rudimentary grasp of math tells me, so that would be 4 spots left for the other 4 owners. So it would be 2 with 4 and 4 with 2. Or maybe somebody gets 3 and maybe somebody only has 1. But if somebody only has 1, then that means somebody out of this group is not making the chase. Lil Lee, Kurt Busch, Tony Stewart, Casey Kane, Carl Edwards, or Joey Logano. So the chase probably will mean something in our draft regardless. It probably won't be a foregone conclusion before we go into it. But that's what makes the speculating so fun, because, again, turning it upside down and it's a year unlike we've seen previously, you know, it'll probably take a year or two or three for us to get used to these changes, Mike. And by the time we do, my guess is the pendulum maybe swings back in the other direction when they figure that they watered down the chase too much by going to 16.
Yeah, I would like it to be so, like, the bottom of the half. Let's say that, for example, Little E is 16th in the chase standings,
mm-hmm.
has a 42nd place finish in a race,
mm-hmm.
and Regan Smith is 17th,
mm-hmm.
and he has a 5th place finish. I think it would be kind of neat if, okay, Little E, you have been removed from the chase. Regan Smith is now bumped up in the 16th place. He's in the chase for the championship.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I know you can't do much from 16 to 1,
mm-hmm.
but just to have people go in and out and to give you a reason to race.
Right. Well, now with going to the eliminator format of where they're going to be cutting down through the course of the chase to where, I believe, there's only going to be 2 drivers going into Homestead at the end. They're going to have a chance to win the thing, and it's going to be whoever finishes higher. Is that how it's going to be?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. So it does take a little bit of the calculating out last year and years before, you know, with the abacus.
If Jimmy Johnson finishes 13th place, then so-and-so has to finish 3rd, or if he leads 5 laps, then he only has to finish 2nd.
So going to be pretty easy going into the last one here to know that. I wonder if TV is going to be, like, highlighting the cars, like, all throughout or something. There'll be some kind of gimmick, won't there?
Oh, yeah. There always is.
Yeah. I'll find a way to juice it up there. But, yeah, 2014, an interesting and transitional year on the NASCAR circuit, and we have done our best here to get you ready for that through the prism of our 2014 NASCAR Fantasy Mock Draft. As always, a great pleasure to be doing this with my friend, the motorsports editor for FDH, Mike Ptak. Mike, thank you so much for joining us here today and breaking this all down with your analysis and participating in the draft.
Rick, it's my pleasure. I always look forward to it. I look forward to looking at your breakdown of, you know, no matter what the sport is or whatever you're drafting. You know, if it's possible to draft anything, Rick Morris will break it down for you.
Awesome. And I certainly rely a lot on your help on the motorsports end. So thank you so much, Mike Ptak, and thank you all for joining us here today in the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, NBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.